Hello, hello.
Janine. Okay. The topic of our podcast today is about speed. So, do you have the need for speed?
Hopefully.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody does.
We want to be fast. We want to hit it far. And that's what we do as long drivers. That's our main goal.
Yep. So that's kind of what we have special for you guys today, is we want to talk a little bit about kind of how the two of us train. And we won't go into super details, but just kind of give an overview of what the process is, kind of how we think through working towards getting higher speed. We're talking club head speed and ball speed, just to clarify that. And maybe it'll help kind of give a little viewpoint and ideas for you guys to apply some of it. And because like we've talked about in previous episodes, I mean, it's super valuable and it's going to help your game all around. So hopefully we'll be able to help out here a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I was starting my long drive journey, I was trying to figure out how do I become better at long drive, and speed was one of the topics. And I had no idea what I was doing. And people are talking about different like speed training aids and just training in general. And, you know, we've already kind of talked about the workout and movement and everything like that. And now specifically getting into speed, I would say, I don't know how you feel about this, Janine, but I've been told by several people that training speed 3 times a week, like whatever speed training you do, 3 times a week, don't do any more than that. Now, I don't know if it has, I don't know if you know, I don't know if that it has to do with the recovery of the body. I would think that that would be the main thing. And you don't want to overdo it, because then you're just swinging tired and you need your body to recover. Okay. So that's,
well, I mean, it's the equivalent of weight training. You can't go try to hit PRs every day of the week. So in my mind, it's the exact same thing. You have to push your body to the limit, but you can't do it every day because you have to recover. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing that I saw when I was speed training. So whatever you do for speed training, after we talk about our methods, you know, do what works for you, but 3 times a week is kind of where you see it happen. And I think it also depends for some people, since we mostly are specific for long drive, you know, during your golf game, you know, if you're applying this to golf, it's good to keep up the speed training, but it does vary on if you're doing 3 times a week, 2 times a week, 1 time a week. With, do you start out in the winter, your speed training, and then as the season goes, do you kind of fall off the wagon and you do it just for maintenance for speed training? So there's a couple different thoughts when it comes to speed training.
For sure. Well, yeah, kind of touching on that topic, I feel like that's a good place to start, is we kind of have to go through cycles. And so perfect example is right now I'm sitting at the end of a pretty high volume strength block. So my speeds aren't as high as I'd like them to be, but that's just a function of I've pushed my body a little bit more right now. And so I'm going to working on some more speed and power movements here going forward for a little while and trying to get that speed back up. But you have to keep teaching your body to adapt. And so that's kind of why you have to go through cycles of picking up speed, picking up strength, picking up speed, picking up strength. So.
No, definitely. I like how you mentioned that in your structure, your workout, it goes hand in hand. You know, you're not going to always see those PRs depending on what cycle you're doing with your fitness training. So that's a good thing to note as well. But for speed training specifically, you know, it can go up and down for you, but what have you seen a little bit with success? Like, what are you personally trying to do more of? What do you see other people doing that you're like, oh, like it works for them, doesn't work for me? Like, what are your thoughts, Janine?
For sure. Well, I mean, I feel like with the long drive community across the board, you can definitely see the goal is to peak around events. And so when we have events that are potentially once a month or every other month, the women have a few less, so it's spread out a little bit more. But we kind of have to work around these cycles where we're working on getting our bodies as quick as they possibly can be right before an event. So we feel fresh, we feel quick, and adding to that mental confidence that you're going to do well because you feel good. That's all part of it, in my opinion. And so I'm totally one of those that it's working your schedule, working your strength schedule and swing schedule around when an event is that your speed really matters. So
definitely. So are you training speed usually 3 times a week leading up to it, or how do you kind of approach that?
Well, I will admit it kind of varies a little bit just with what I can work in that week. I personally definitely don't try to push speed usually more than once or twice a week. I don't do it 3 times. Right now, while I'm kind of in a high volume strength block, it's even less than that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But yeah, when we get closer to an event and we start to pick up speed, the frequency goes up a little bit.
Okay, good to know. That's an interesting take on it. I like how you kind of did the broad overall kind of speed training.
Well, yeah, thing. I mean, how do you work through it?
I have a few different methods, and I have not fine-tuned this. So yet again, take everything with a grain of salt and apply it to your training and see what works for you. That is my suggestion for everybody. I do a few different methods. When I studied the other long drivers and what they were putting out there for content, what they were saying to do, I definitely saw 3 times a week. And so I try, you know, I'm not consistent with it. But the one of the easiest things that you can do just at home with a driver is swinging that driver 50 fast swings. Okay. That's the easiest thing. It's the best thing I can suggest. If you want to push your speed, you're just taking that driver and swinging 50 fast time. Your cardio goes up eventually over time. Maybe you're doing 70 swings, maybe you're doing 100 swings, but that's the speed training. It's literally a workout. It's a cardio workout, hands down. So that's how I started. And then I had access as I got to know more people and get involved in it, the sport. I got access to the aero swing. So the aero swing, there's two different kinds. There's a more stiffer shaft. There's a more flexible shaft. And the more flexible shaft has kind of the orange whip, essentially. It's an orange whip with using air resistance instead of weights, which I'll talk about those. But using those pineapples as air resistance instead of weight resistance and then swinging that quickly. And he has a whole video set up that you watch online with how he does it, but he does like 80%, 90%, 100% swings, and you're taking off the weights and putting them on. So I've kind of been doing basic things like that. Nothing out of the ordinary, or using it to warm up before an event. That's kind of why I like the aero swing.
And then a few other too.
Yeah. A lot of people like it to warm up, and it's really nice, which yet again, the aero whip or the orange whip does the same thing as well. So it's a preference for whoever prefers what they like. And I know the owner, Bill, of Aero Swing. So that's why I kind of enjoy using that. And the other swing speed training materials I do work with, and I'll specify this, I do work with Ripstick. So that's another weighted. There's Ripstick, there's the Stack, there's the Super Speed Sticks, and then Speed Toad just came out from one of the long drivers. They developed it.
I know. So I want to know more about that one because I've been seeing it since it came out, but I don't know much about it.
I was just sitting on the couch with him the other day too. I should have. We were at the event and he was sitting right there. I was like, oh man, I should have. But basically for the Speed Toad, you just put it on your driver shaft.
Yeah.
So it makes it super. What I get worried about is like, does it break it or mess with it? That's my only concern. But otherwise, like it can fit to whatever adapter that you need. And I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. Like I would love to do that. Cause then you're using that exact shaft versus with the speed stick, the rip stick,
your driver. Yep.
Exactly. It's a little bit different with utilizing those other materials. So the rip stick is a Minnesota brand. So shout out to Minnesota. So I do enjoy that. And they basically, you can take out the weights and put the weights in versus super speed sticks. For those, you have the weight is on that specific stick. So you usually have 3 different sticks, 3 different weights. And then the Stack is similar to Ripstick where you can take off and put on weights, but they have a subscription model for their workouts and for speed training. So it's the only Only thing with that is I did find that one a little bit pricier on the Spectrum there. And then yeah, the Speed Toad, I don't know the pricing on that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I want to say the last I looked, it was, let me check before.
It's probably comparable in price, but each of them have their own unique aspect, and I'm not going to tell anybody to go out and buy something. You definitely try what you can do.
Well, and I'm kind of glad that you brought up how you started, because I feel like that's really the big thing is where do I start? Because then you can kind of learn and tinker. But I remember when I was really first starting to train for speed, I will totally admit I was using the stack system for a little while. I probably ended up doing a cycle of that and maybe half of a cycle at some point later on. And it really helped me. I don't necessarily think it was tool specific, but just in general, starting to push your body for speed and learning what it takes and what it feels like to get a little bit of extra speed. Like when you have constant feedback of my swing's 114. Oh, I just hit 115. What felt different? Why was I able to pull out a little bit more right there? Going through that learning cycle is so important. And I think that was huge for me because you could just feel within your swing what works and what doesn't by constant feedback.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that you used the stack. So
I did. I did.
I almost got it right before I worked with Ripstick here. So, but I think there's so many different ways.
Oh yeah. It's very personal. There's not really a one size fits all in my opinion.
Yeah. And those are just utilizing the tools. Another thing that I would do is just you're in the simulator and then you're hitting 200 balls super fast, trying to just have the club speed, ball speed up there. I know I've seen other people training where they're doing like burpees or push-ups or something. They get their heart rate up and they're like, go, 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 loud music. You see that with a bunch of people. So speed training has different levels of which people are operating.
Definitely. Well, also I feel like has to do with kind of where you are in your entire speed training process. Kind of like I was just talking about where when we start, it's a feedback loop. I mean, it never stops being a feedback loop, but one, your speed's going to go up pretty quick when you start because your body's going to adapt and you're going to start to make adjustments that's going to help make those numbers jump up. And then the longer that you work on it, it's going to take more and more work to add those extra miles an hour once you get to the top. Because once you've fine-tuned those mechanics, worked on those a little bit more, started to push your body to actually the speeds that it's capable of hitting, then it's going to take extra steps to get beyond that. But up front, when you just start, totally expect a pretty big jump pretty quick.
Definitely. Definitely. You see that. And then I think what, yet again, going back to our first swing tip was it to hit the ball farther is if you have a good swing, if you're the most efficient in your swing. So yeah, you can speed up the swing, but if your efficiency with your body and how it's moving isn't the best, you're not going to get to that next level of your swing speed too. So that's another aspect to think about. So we're talking training aids and just like jumping in that way. But if you don't have the right swing and the right mechanics, you're not going to cross that threshold. So that's something to improve as well. I think somebody compared it as like an ice skater where, you know, the ice skater can, they're really tight and they're spinning really fast. And then as they like spread out, it slows down. So that's kind of what the golf swing is like. And I thought that was a really cool analogy. So, and bringing that into the stats here. So looking at a stat from last year, it says TrackMan. So the different monitors that you can do, launch monitors, you can use TrackMan. Golf defined the club head speed as the club head just prior to the first touch of the golf ball. The average golf swing for a professional with a driver is 113 miles an hour. And then the ball speed is the speed of the golf ball center of gravity immediately after the separation from the club face. The average ball speed for a PGA player is 167 miles an hour. So, Janine, What do you consider a decent swing for you? And where would you like to see your, or what's your like top numbers? And where would you like to see your numbers from there?
Sure. So on, I would say an average day when I feel pretty good, I'm currently cruising. Now, this is long drive setup, long drive swing. I will clarify that. I'm cruising about 117, 118 miles an hour. My max club head speed that I have seen on a TrackMan is 122.4 miles an hour. And then my ball speed wise on a good day, if I'm hitting it center, I'm seeing, at least right now, I'm seeing probably between 174 and 176. And then my absolute best is 182 right now.
I'd say for me right now, 110 is kind of where I'm sitting at pretty comfortably. I pushed it before this last event. I was pushing to 115, so I'm definitely slower right now. But my PR, I think, is like club speed. I think it's 122. I had some misreadings where I was like, it is not that much. So I comfortably say 122. And then ball speed for me, the PR is 174 something. But I'd say right now, with how I'm hitting, which is not my best, it's high 160s, hitting that 170 target. So, what I'd like to see though, which you got to answer this, Janine, too, what I'd like to see is comfortably just staying in 180 the entire time. Goals, obviously, I'd love to see a 200 mile per hour ball speed. Okay, like how awesome would that be for a female to do? But that's a big gain. That's a lot of gain in a short amount of time for the season. So we got to be realistic. And then club speed wise, I'd like to be cruising more like 120 plus consistently. At 130, that'd be a cool club head speed, I don't
Definitely.
know.
Well,
What's the
and I
right
mean,
speed?
I will say, like, from where I'm sitting right now, by not, I'm not necessarily going to say this season, but this year, 130 club, 190 ball is what I want for sure.
There we go. Everybody heard it here. I want to res like I want to capture this moment right here, and I'd like to revisit this at the end
Oh, I
of this
know,
year and just hold us accountable. Okay? I love putting out goals and holding accountable. I gotta hold myself accountable to that now, huh? Since I put it out there. That's what the
it.
best thing is for a podcast is you say it and then you should really do it. So I need to make sure I write down what I say.
Hey, that's
Oh
okay.
man. But you
I
can,
mean,
yeah.
yeah, I mean,
You
putting it out there into the world pushes you to do a, pick it up and go after it a little bit more. So I love it. I mean,
have
it's
to have
completely
goals.
reasonable. Yeah, it's but it's completely reasonable. If we put the work in and we do the right things, like it'll happen. So
Exactly. But I'd like to say, Janine, with the numbers that you gave, definitely she is a PGA professional right there with her speeds, with the driver. Okay, putting those numbers out there, like 113 and 167. Clearly for a long driver, that's like the bare minimum for us is what they're putting out there
for
for their
sure.
numbers.
For sure. Well, and I mean, I do think it's important to make note that competition speeds are going to look a little bit different, at least with the balls that we're using right now in competition. Because if you compare to a really hard golf ball, like a Titleist Pro V1 Left Dash, like that's a harder golf ball. You're going to get better ball speeds off of that than you would kind of any other standard golf ball. And I mean, we're hitting Bridgestones in competition for World Long Drive right now, and those are a little bit slower than like a Pro V1 Left Dash, something like that. So the ball speeds will look a little bit different, but pushing that ceiling higher, regardless of what you're using, is all that really matters, because push the ceiling higher and you push the floor higher. So,
Exactly. No matter what you're using, if you're using in your practice this ball and you're seeing that gain with that specific ball, that's what we want to see. Obviously, if you use a different, better ball, you're going to see those higher numbers, but are you always going to use, like, I heard those left dash balls are so expensive. So I'm not paying for those. It's the
same price as a Pro V1.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to.
They're just hard to find. That's the secret. The pricing is not really any different, if at all, but they're hard to find.
Okay. Interesting. Janine with the inside scoop here. Okay.
Heck yeah, I got me a box of those.
Oh my gosh. I take whatever ball sponsorships come my way. Please offer me whatever you prefer. I will play it.
Well, yeah.
I don't need left dash. I need something.
For sure. Well, an ultimate long drive uses, they used to use Volvics, but now they're top flight balls. But I mean, I will even admit, like, I actually like hitting them. I think they feel pretty good in terms of a ball for a long drive. So I have no complaints. I know most people would say, oh, top flight balls suck. But, and sure, if you're playing around a golf and you want to get a lot of greenside spin, yeah, probably these would not be great for that. But if we're talking you want to hit it as far as you can, I actually think they're pretty decent. So
okay. Yeah, I honestly, if it's a long drive thing, if I want to do long drive on a hole for a tournament, like say there's a scramble or whatnot and you can do that, I usually use the Titleist AVX one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the longest one that I've seen that I've used. But I would say when I'm playing a round of golf, I whip out the Callaways because I need any help on the green as I can get. Because the Titleist just seems to roll and I need them to stop my ball because my Callaway balls will stop versus the Titleist because I'm just too strong. I got to stop working out or something. You know?
I get that. Well, I feel like when I'm playing, I can go the middle price, decent quality route. I actually really like the TaylorMade Tour responses. So it's not the highest dollar ball, but I really like them. So that's usually what my go-to is.
Interesting. Okay. I use whatever shop credit I have to buy balls. So I don't know the last time I physically paid cash out of my pocket for balls because usually I do these tournaments and then I get some sort of pro shop credit. And the only thing most of the time that I like at the store are the balls. And then I'll be like, okay, let's get some ball.
I totally get that. That's funny. Yeah. And I mean, I think kind of this is slightly off topic, but kind of goes with what we were just discussing is I think people don't realize how big of an impact a scuff or a little bit of a worn down ball makes. Because if you go out and hit on the driving range and the balls are pretty rough, like it's going to make a huge impact on how far you can hit it and what that ball flight looks like. And even on the course, if you play with something that potentially whacked off of a rock and has a little scuff in it, like it's going to have a pretty big impact on your ball flight. You may not believe it, but it really, really does.
Yeah, I agree. I never really cared about that. And then my pro got mad at me. So now I've gotten to be a ball snob where it gets scuffed.
Yeah,
it 100% does. So when you're playing for fun, go ahead, use whatever. But if you're in a tournament and you're in any kind of competition, take it way more serious. Have like a couple sleeves of new balls on you in case they scuff up. Not if you lose it, because we will not lose the balls, people. Okay. Can't think that. It's just if it's scuffed. That's the only reason you bring a couple sleeves. Oh, but the need for speed, that's what we want. We want to hit them further. Yep. We want to hit them better. That ball speed, that's telling you that efficiency, how well you're hitting that in the center of gravity for the ball. And that's what we want to see, higher numbers with each of your
get constant feedback. Find something where you can see what your club speed is, what your ball speed is, and you'll start to see what has an impact on those numbers either going up or down and how it feels. And it's going to start to make a huge difference in your game in general. So definitely recommend trying to go find somewhere where you're able to get that information.
Yeah. And we also, you know, the other week we talked about the fitness part of everything too. You got to learn to move your body faster. Like we're talking about swinging the club faster and doing all that. But in addition, that's when you go back to your routine and your strength and fitness, but you also have to move your body fast. You like, if you're twisting around, You know, and then you get your hips are twisting, everything's, you got to move the body faster if you want the club to go faster. So that's another side of things that we didn't necessarily touch on. I don't know that I have any specific movements I can think of besides just like band work items.
Well, anything jumping as high as you can, as quick as you can. If you go to a gym where there's medicine balls, you can do rotational movements where you're throwing a medicine ball off of a wall, chest passes, anything like that, where it's just purely teaching your body to move faster is going to have a huge impact.
Okay, there we go. You heard it from Janine. There are your workout tips. Oh, man. Well, that's
yeah. Hopefully we were able to help you guys out with some ideas and with speed training, and we'll definitely go a little bit deeper in the future, but just kind of as an overall idea on what first steps to take, just start swinging faster. Don't care where the ball goes. Take some time out of your practice and swing as hard as you can, as fast as you can. And you'll see a huge impact on it over time. And especially in the beginning, when you're just starting out, it's going to make a huge difference. And you're going to be really happy with it.
I like how you said, don't care where the ball goes. That's a separate thing. I agree with Janine. I say one day is a speed day, and then the next day you can work on your golf and hitting location, everything. Keep those separate. Speed training is just the speed. So you need to be able to separate that in your mind.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, awesome.
Well, if you have any questions or you want to like ask us any advice on the speed training specifically, you can always DM us on Instagram and we'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, everybody have a great rest of your day and keep on swinging.